Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Carolyn Jones is my guest today. Carolyn is a graduate of Kent State. She's an author, a life coach, and a speaker. She's going to give us some ideas on how to get past adversity. Carolyn Jones, coming up right after this on The Journey of Hope. Get mail from you. You can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line.
Finally let me go, but it was rough. With an ankle bracelet, GPS, tracking device, impossible to fake. Couldn't get a job no matter how hard I tried, except for busting rocks. And fuck this shit, you gotta be kidding. Work it, Jack in the Box. Hey,
welcome back. My guest today is Carolyn Jones. Carolyn is an author, a speaker, and a coach. She's a graduate of Kent State and spent her career doing some nursing and loves photography. And we're going to talk a little bit about her book of photography a little bit later. Carolyn, how are you?
I'm doing well today, Rodney. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I want to thank you for joining us. Now, we're going to get to your book, Opening the Gates of the Heart, in just a little bit. But first, apropos to this audience, is I want to talk about your struggles that you've had. And you mentioned that you struggled with drugs at one point in your life. Tell us a little bit about that so we get a good idea of where you're coming from.
Okay. It actually was alcohol and drugs.
Okay.
And I started drinking my senior year in college because I got a Dear Carolyn letter from the guy I was supposed to get married to saying he'd gotten married to someone else. Hmm. My roommates took me out to drown my sorrows, and that began a 26-year alcoholic spree for me.
Wow.
Yeah, so I drank pretty heavily for 26 years. And about 4 years after college, I discovered drugs and made up for my lost time of not knowing anything about drugs before I went to college, or before I graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
So I was numbing my pain that I felt from a lot of verbal, emotional, and physical abuse that I endured growing up.
Okay. And I know that in your blog you talk about hopelessness. Were you at a place of hopelessness?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
lately.
Tell us about that.
My hopelessness really occurred in 2000 when I had left my marriage because it was verbally abusive and it failed. And I met another man and we were developing our relationship. I thought he was the love of my life and that he reciprocated. Well, he told me in a very humiliating way that he didn't care for me. I crashed and hit bottom at that point, and I became very hopeless. That's probably the biggest hopeless time period in my life was after he told me that. And I was praying to die.
Oh, goodness. Well,
yeah, I was pretty bad off.
Now, were you still drinking and using during that time period?
I was, but the funny thing about it, or the interesting thing about it is that incident and my hitting bottom from that drove me to get sober, because when God wouldn't let me die, then I prayed for help, and it came in the form of me going on a road trip. And I started out on the road trip visiting my friend in San Diego. She had started getting sober herself. And I was aware of that. And I knew that if I didn't quit drinking, I was going to die. And when it came right down to it, I didn't want to die.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting that most of us have to hit bottom before we can pull ourselves up by the bootstraps? It's interesting, isn't it?
It really is. It's like we have to get to our bottom line, I guess, is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And for this audience, it's prison, including myself, that caused us to finally hit bottom. And then eventually you were able to get sober, and I want to talk about how you did that. Tell us about that.
Well, as I say, I went to San Diego. And my intention was to stay for just a couple weeks and get a handle on my drinking and then continue on my road trip. Well, I stayed for a year and a half. I was emotionally raw when I first got sober. I was dealing very heavily with that grief from the unrequited love. I went to 4 and 5 meetings a day, AA meetings. And I did a lot of writing, a lot of journaling with my non-dominant hand, which brought up all sorts of deep feelings.
Wow.
Yeah, I highly recommend that to your listeners as a way to get to their deepest feelings.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Research has been done, and studies show that when we write or do things with our non-dominant hand, it exercises the other side of the brain, and the one we don't use as frequently, and there are kept a bunch of feelings.
Interesting. I've done a lot of these shows, Carolyn. I've never heard that. That's pretty darn interesting there.
Yeah, well, that's actually what started my book.
Okay, because I was just getting ready to ask you, at some point, you get sober and you're living your life and you make the decision to share your story and to help others. And so this started your process into the book. Now tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. I got sober March of 2001. And then in 2004, I started photographing these gates. Now, keep in mind that I've been journaling all this time for years, and I'm continuing to journal, and I'm writing about my feelings. And then I discover these gates that I fall in love with, and I start photographing them. And then one day in November of 2004, I wrote in my journal something that described a gate that I had just titled Webs of Fear.
Okay.
And what I wrote in my journal was, I have spent a lifetime spinning webs of terror and shame between the spires that stand as sentinels to my heart. That's the sort of thing that surfaced for me when I was writing with my non-dominant hand.
Wow.
Very profound stuff that I didn't know I was capable of. And when I wrote that and realized, wow, I have this photograph that these words describe, and I didn't plan it. What I did is I searched all the rest of my journals, and I had many. I had like 10 journals. And I searched through all of them, and I found a lot of verses that fit other photographs of Gates that I had titled. And that is actually how the book got started. I did not set out to write a book. I had no idea I was writing a book. It just happened. I call it divine intervention.
Well, we're going to, Carolyn, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I want to get deeper into your book, Opening the Gates of the Heart. It's a book of pictures of gates, and I believe there's pictures of lights in there as well. And it's much, much deeper than just the pictures. And so we're going to be talking to Carolyn right after the break. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. If you like to play music in your downtime, you'll appreciate what I'm going to tell you about here. It's something called the Jam Buddy chord chart. Doesn't matter what instrument you play. It can be a fiddle, banjo, a guitar, a bass, a piano. It teaches you something called the Nashville numbering system, which enables you to play songs in any key. It's really cool. I use it. You want to check it out. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart. And the way you find it is you click on the link right there next to the podcast that says Jam Buddy chord chart. And it'll take you to angiesbanjo.com. You go there, check out the cart. It's very, very cool. The Jam Buddy chord chart. And welcome back. We're chatting with Carolyn Jones. She's got a book called Opening the Gates of the Heart. And before we dive into that, Carolyn, I want you to tell our listeners out there, what are the benefits of sobriety? How did your life change when you became sober?
Oh, wow. That question brought tears to my eyes because the benefits are just incredible. For about the first 5 years of my sobriety, I was pretty emotionally raw. I was dealing with a lot of aftermath of a lot of verbal and emotional abuse and feeling like I was nothing. And so I started building myself again from the ground up, what I did with my sobriety. The benefits I've experienced are just this incredible peace. I've also experienced positive beliefs about myself. So today I have a positive image about myself. This is something that is entirely new to me. And it took me about 5 years of sobriety before that started to happen. So if your listeners are getting sober and they're feeling like it's not worth it, I can relate to them on that because that's what I felt. But hear me when I say, It is well worth it.
It is well worth it. In your day-to-day life, I believe we're talking. What we're talking about here is your self-esteem, and not trashing your body anymore, and not trashing other people, and
I can't remember.
Let me ask you this, Carolyn. In your sobriety, do you find that you have more empathy towards other people now that you're sober? Has the selfishness left your life?
Yes. I have found more empathy. I found more compassion. I've always cared about people, but underlying that was a huge selfishness on my part. Mm-hmm. What I could get out of something was usually the way I operated. That's what guided me. And since sobriety, I learned to put the other person first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get to the book now. It's Opening the Gates of the Heart. I want you to explain to the listeners what the book is and what it's about.
Okay. It is a book of 42 photographs of wrought iron gates and verses that go with the gates, and each photograph is titled, but the verse matches the titles. And it is a tribute to the resiliency and beauty of the human spirit. What it is an accounting of my journey from great angst through self-discovery and awareness, through growth and healing, until we finally reach joy and peace at the end of the book. So it takes you as the reader through that journey, and it makes you think about your own journey. It makes you think about the ways that you treat yourself and how you feel about yourself, and it makes you look at and think about how you're treating others, how you could treat them with more compassion, more respect, tolerance, kindness, things like that. And in addition to treating others that way, it looks at how to treat yourself those ways too.
Okay. Now, you mentioned as you were describing the book that the beginning of your journey was something that included a lot of angst and grudges. What advice do you have to our listeners, having been there, of overcoming anger and grudges that we might have? And maybe even you could address the importance of doing that.
Very interesting you should bring that up. I have an article on my website that when you leave your email, you get a copy of an article about forgiveness and anger. It's called Freedom from Anger. And basically what it is about forgiveness. And there came a point for me where I just couldn't continue to hold my anger and my grudge against my parents. But more to the point is I accidentally stumbled across forgiveness. I was thinking about men in my life and what I had done to make the relationships go south. And what I realized was I would get drunk and I would scream at them that they were worthless and would never amount to anything. Well, naturally, when I remembered this, I was horrified, first of all, that I had denigrated their souls in such a manner. And then I realized I didn't mean it about them, that I meant it about me. And it was a repeat of what I was told almost every day while I was growing up. So then one day I got the idea, wow, if I didn't mean that those guys were worthless, I really meant I was worthless. Maybe my father didn't really mean that I was worthless. Maybe he meant he was worthless. And with that realization, Rodney, I was able to forgive him. Mm-hmm. I was able to have compassion for him as a wounded person, as I had compassion for myself, also a wounded person. And with that compassion, I was able to forgive him.
And along those same lines, Carolyn, the importance of not blaming other people for our actions and taking the responsibility of the things that we do upon our own shoulders. Did you find that to be a part of your sobriety as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I spent all those 26 years that I was drinking. I actually spent 38 years total being very self-pitying, very blaming of my parents, blaming of everybody, blaming of other circumstances for my misery. When I got sober and a few years into it, I began to become self-responsible. And actually, it was the exercise of doing a self-appraisal or a performance evaluation, if you will, mm-hmm. where I looked myself. First, I looked at my good qualities and the good things about myself, the things I do nicely, the things I do well, my good behaviors, my good actions. And then I looked at my negative behavior and the negative things about myself, and I began to take responsibility for my own negativeness. I began to own my behavior when I was negative. With that change came a profound change in my ability to stop blaming others. And now when something comes up, my first thought is to go to, okay, Jones, how did you contribute to this? How did you perhaps cause this situation that you're now facing? And I always have a part in things. I always have a part. Sometimes the part is to not speak up for myself, not to be positive about myself. Sometimes that's my part in things. Sometimes it's that I invited a negative situation upon myself just through the lack of follow-through, for example, that I might have done. I can't think of a specific example offhand, but getting sober really helped me to be accountable for myself and to stop blaming others.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to throw you a curveball here, so get ready. Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Every once in a while, I'll have somebody come on the show talking about getting sober that does not speak highly of 12-step programs. I happen to think they're very effective. I noticed that you used AA to help you get sober.
Right.
Talk to us about 12-step programs and how AA helped you. Could you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It got me to look at life from a spiritual aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in religion,
mm-hmm.
but I believe in God. I believe that there's a power out there that is guiding me, that oversees, if you will, the way things happen in my life. And AA taught me how to take action. AA taught me how to look at myself first before I start looking at others. And it taught me how to surrender, how to let go of needing to control everything,
mm-hmm.
and letting the powers of verse and letting the powers of the universe guide me, if you will.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't too bad of a curveball, was it?
No. Okay. I liked that curveball.
Hey, listen, you know, one of the things I like is your blog. I was reading through your blog this morning. I really like it. Tell us how to get, first of all, your book. And then also tell us how to get to your blog.
Okay. I actually go by Carolyn C.J. Jones. And I did that because if you Google me, as Carolyn Jones, you'll never find me. So I added the CJ, which is actually a nickname for me, standing for Cracker Jacks. My best friend in high school nicknamed me the original Cracker Jack.
Okay.
And so I added the CJ, and so that's my website, CarolynCJJones.com, and my blog is there. It's one of the pull-down tabs that you just click on the tab for my blog, and that takes you right there. There's also a products tab, and under that products tab is my book. Now, you can order from Amazon a few dollars cheaper, but I charge $25. That includes shipping. And when you order it from me, you get a signed copy of my book.
Yeah, okay.
So there's a personal touch to it. And I have a really nice personal message that I add to the book.
Excellent. The book is called Opening the Gates of the Heart. My guest today has been Carolyn Jones. Carolyn, thanks a lot for being here on the Journey of Hope today. Very interesting information. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Rodney. I really appreciate it.
No problem. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, more on the Journey of Hope. My name's Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this. Baby, I'm free. Hey, y'all, we got some really cool shows coming up in the next couple of months. You want to be sure and tell people that you know that are other ex-offenders and the family and friends of ex-offenders. We've got shows coming up that deal from everything from relationships for the ex-offender coming home to job searches to dealing with addiction issues. All of these are coming up in the next couple of months. You want to be sure and check them out right here on the Journey of Hope. And we've come to the end of another show. I want to thank my special guest, Carolyn Jones, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.